Today is the 12th day of the month of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is so good to see you. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for showing up for me, for all of us here, for yourself. I am grateful today for you. Grateful today for the scriptures. Grateful today for today. Grateful today that we can take another step forward. And we are in some territory in the Old Testament that I love very much. The book of Nehemiah is definitely a story that I just find intriguing. And we've talked quite a bit about it yesterday as we got into it. It is such important messages for those of us, which is all of us, who have dreams and hopes and are incorporating and asking God to lead and direct those things. Nehemiah wants to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. This is kind of like after the exile. He's been sent and given permission by the Persian king to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, because it's not. And that doesn't mean that the people in the land are excited about the wall of Jerusalem being rebuilt, because they're not. And so let's continue the journey while looking at the opposition in our own lives and in our own stories. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 15 through 5, verse 13 today. Shallun, son of Kol-Ozei, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gates. He rebuilt it and roofed it. Then he installed its doors, bolts, and bars. He also made repairs to the wall of the Pool of Shelah, near the king's garden, as far as the stairs that descend from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, ruler of half the district of Bet-Zur, made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool in the house of the warriors. Next to him, the Levites made repairs under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, made repairs for his district. After him, their fellow Levites made repairs under Binui, son of Henadad, ruler of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Azar, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, made repairs to another section opposite the ascent to the armory at the angle. After him, Baruch, son of Zabai, diligently repaired another section from the angle to the door of the house of the high priest Eliashib. Beside him, Meramot, son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, made repairs to another section from the door of Eliashib's house to the end of his house. And next to him, the priests from the surrounding area made repairs. After them, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs opposite their house. Beside them, Azariah, son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his house. After him, Binui, son of Henadad, made repairs to another section from the house of Azariah to the angle and the corner. Pelal, son of Uzai, made repairs opposite the angle and tower that juts out from the king's upper palace, by the courtyard of the guard. Beside him, Pedaiah, son of Parosh, and the temple servants living on Ophel, made repairs opposite the water gate toward the east and the tower that juts out. Next to him, the Tekoites made repairs to another section from a point opposite the great tower that juts out, as far as the wall of Ophel. Each of the priests made repairs above the horse gate, each opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house, and beside him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, guard of the east gate, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, made repairs to another section. After them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his room. Next to him, Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs to the house of the temple servants and the merchants, opposite the inspection gate and as far as the upstairs room on the corner. The goldsmiths and merchants made repairs between the upstairs room on the corner and the sheep gate. When Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, "What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?" Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, "Indeed, even if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break down their stone wall. Listen, our God, for we are despised. Make their insults return on their own heads, and let them be taken as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt or let their sins be erased from your sight, because they have angered the builders." So we rebuilt the wall until the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had the will to keep working. When Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw it into confusion. So we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of the laborer fails since there is so much rubble. We will never be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemy said, "They won't realize it until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work." When the Jews who lived nearby arrived, they said to us time and again, "Everywhere you turn, they attack us." So I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall, at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord and fight for your countrymen, your sons and daughters, your wives and homes." When our enemies heard that we knew their scheme and that God had frustrated it, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. From that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and the one who sounded the ram's horn was beside me. And I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the ram's horn, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work while half the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Let everyone and his servant spend the night inside Jerusalem so that they can stand guard by night and work by day. And I, my brothers, my servants, and the men of the guard with me never took off our clothes." each carried his weapon even when washing. There was a widespread outcry from the people and their wives against their Jewish countrymen. Some were saying, "We, our sons and our daughters are numerous. Let us get grain so that we can eat and live." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, vineyards, and homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have borrowed money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. We and our children are just like our countrymen and their children, yet we are subjecting our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters are already enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others." I became extremely angry when I heard their outcry and these complaints. After seriously considering the matter, I accused the nobles and officials, saying to them, "Each of you is charging his countrymen interest." So I called a large assembly against them and said, "We have done our best to buy back our Jewish countrymen who were sold to foreigners. But now you sell your own countrymen, and we have to buy them back." They remained silent and could not say a word. Then I said, "What you are doing isn't right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God and not invite the reproach of our foreign enemies? Even I, as well as my brothers and my servants, have been lending them money and grain. Please, let's stop charging this interest. Return their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses to them immediately, along with the percentage of the money, grain, new wine, and fresh oil that you have been assessing them." They responded, "We will return these things and require nothing more from them. We will do as you say." So I summoned the priests and made everyone take an oath to do this. I also shook the folds of my robe and said, "May God likewise shake from his house and property everyone who doesn't keep this promise. May he be shaken out and have nothing." The whole assembly said, "Amen," and they praised the Lord. Then the people did as they had promised. First Corinthians 7, 25 through 40. Now, about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is faithful. Because of the present distress, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. However, if you do get married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such people will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. This is what I mean, brothers and sisters. The time is limited. So from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they didn't own anything. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For this world in its current form is passing away. I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. but the married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. If any man thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, if she is getting beyond the usual age for marriage and he feels he should marry, he can do what he wants. He is not sinning. They can get married. But he who stands firm in his heart, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and has decided in his heart to keep her as his fiancée, will do well. So then he who marries his fiancée does well, but he who does not marry will do better. A wife is bound as long as her husband is living, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to anyone she wants, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, in my opinion. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God. Psalm 32. The joy of forgiveness of David Amasco. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When great flood waters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding that must be controlled with bit and bridle, or else it will not come near you. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Proverbs 21, 5 through 7. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. Making a fortune through a lying tongue is a vanishing mist, a pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to act justly. Okay, so we started the book of Nehemiah yesterday, and we talked about that and how the story carries like the story of Nehemiah, but underneath it all, these words that counsel us as we are pursuing callings and goals and dreams and visions and aspirations that we believe are led by God. And when we observe the wisdom that Nehemiah uses to make his decisions and the way he responds to things, then that gives us kind of a way to contrast the way that we're going about things. And as we continue to read, then that gives us an opportunity to contrast and compare and reconsider and refine some of the assumptions that we make about why things are working or are not working for us as we try to lead things forward. So in our reading today, the people have caught the vision that Nehemiah cast for them. I mean, he came into town and he kept things quiet. He did not like come in with a big banner making a big announcement. He like scoped the whole thing out before anything else. And then he cast vision and people caught the vision and began to work to rebuild the wall. And progress moved faster than anybody could have ever hoped. It was like a uniting force that pulled people together. And obviously that's what we all long for when we've prayed and planned and considered and counted the cost and launched into a new chapter. But the idea that just because we did those things, everything will be smooth sailing, like that is pretty much never the way that anything ever really goes. At least in my experience. Maybe yours is different, but I don't know anybody else's that's different. So Nehemiah, even in the scriptures, faces significant opposition. Once they get the project off the ground and it begins to progress and it's a visible thing that's actually happening. And so we can kind of consider and hold in our hearts and take counsel in the way that Nehemiah handles things, because we face all of the same things. First, we see like taunting, this voice of ridicule. What does this bunch of feeble people think they're doing? They think they can do this in a day? They think they can do this so fast? Do they actually think they can make something of these stones from the rubbish heap? Charred and burned stones at that? Discouraging words that are thrown at us, no matter how they come. They can come from the lips of somebody that is taunting us. They can come in the form of written words or posts or just anything that can demoralize us when we're giving our heart to something, pouring ourselves, our time, our talent, our gifts, our resources into something. And then we get this taunting and ridicule that can shut us down. It can be debilitating and close. It could completely flatten us. Nehemiah has a response because it's discouraging. The things that were happening were discouraging. Nehemiah responds by crying out to God and then keeping on going. Like he's like, remember what they're saying, Lord. And then he keeps on going. Let's just take that on board. Like he doesn't curl up on the couch and eat a whole bag of chips and just watch Netflix and imagine that the whole thing is just not going to work out. He cries out to God and then does not stop. He stays steadfast and absolutely connected to his source and keeps putting one foot in front of the other. And soon the wall is half done. All the way around the city, it's half of its height, but it's all the way around. And that brings more opposition. The next thing that shows up is like threat, intimidation, this idea that attack is imminent. Because now what Nehemiah has cast vision for is more than just an idea or a fantasy that can't happen. It's actually something that's visible and it's moving forward. So the taunting and demoralization turns into actual threat and intimidation. Nehemiah didn't, negotiate. He didn't freak out. He didn't get small. He prepared the people. He took the time and armed the people and prayed to God and guarded the city day and night so that everyone was protected. So it's fascinating because discouragement and intimidation are usually the things that come first, and they're pretty much enough to divert a dream off course. A goal, a mission, a plan can throw it into disarray so that it just becomes something that maybe would have been a good idea, but is just never going to happen. Because dreaming up something is so much easier than the blood and the sweat of actually keeping going and seeing it through no matter what. So Nehemiah is facing actual real world threats, actually real life threats, things that are life threatening that could have killed him or derailed the building of the wall for sure. Then Nehemiah just responds by taking care of his people, arming everybody. He ends up having to slow the whole thing down, cutting the workforce in half so that while one group of people were building, the other group of people was standing by and guarding, which slowed everything down. They were moving so efficiently. It slowed, cut everything in half, the progress in half. But it didn't stop the progress. And one brick was laid on another brick, and the wall continued slower, but it continued. And then finally in today's reading, it's the inside job. And my gosh, once all these things start moving and we just really start facing opposition, when there's an inside job to demoralize, when there's an inside thing that taking advantage or manipulation from within among people that you are trusting, that is a killer. It's so destructive. It is heartbreaking, even traumatizing, to be betrayed from within. And Nehemiah has to face that. So many of the people are not able to keep working on the wall and farm and grow food so they can stay alive and support their families and do trade and earn money and just to live and exist and support their world, their family. And so other people, opportunists, manipulation, seize opportunity. So a lot of the wealthier Jewish exiles, people that were taken into exile but had some money when they came back, started preying on the less fortunate. And that ended up causing families to be broken up. That caused people to have to sell themselves back into slavery, or sell off part of their family into slavery. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? So Nehemiah responds, calling everybody together and exposing it all. He says, I called this meeting and I was like, we're doing everything we can to redeem relatives who have had to sell themselves to foreigners, but you're selling them back again. into slavery. How many times do we have to do this? And the manipulators and opportunists from within, they have nothing to say. They can't defend themselves. So what Nehemiah does with the inside job is bring it out into the light and keep it from staying in the darkness. And that exposure could cause a person to double down. But this is in the whole community. And so the perpetrators that are taking advantage and really hurting people, betraying people, they repent. And they give back what they have taken. And they even make reparations. Right? So like they restore and they do repair work to the people that they have exploited. And so in today's reading alone, Nehemiah faces taunt, ridicule. He faces intimidation and threats. And he faces the inside job of exploitation and manipulation. And through all of these things, the mission doesn't get lost. He's able to see that this is part of it. And we're going to find a way to keep going forward. We're going to persevere. We're going to endure. He is not willing to keep injustice in the dark in his leadership. And so all of these things that we're learning, we need to know that these things can and will happen, but also the leadership that we're watching, these are necessary characteristics that we have to cultivate in order to lead and navigate our own journey. And as so often happens in the Bible, the Proverbs speak volumes, and today the proverb speaks clearly. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Taking a hasty shortcut will lead you into ruin, into poverty. Lying to create wealth is like a mist. It's a trap that will kill you. Because the violence of the wicked, it sweeps them away because they won't do what's right. They won't be just. So, Father, thank you. There is so much in the book of Nehemiah, so much here as we watch this story unfold and apply it into our own lives. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. Lead us in the way that we should go, and give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear how to navigate. Because the things that Nehemiah is facing are all things that we face in our lives. And one of the things that we see so clearly is that Nehemiah will not hide in the dark, and he will not allow anything to be hidden in the dark in his leadership. And he is utterly dependent on you to complete the mission, and he will not give up, even if he has to slow down. Incredible lessons for us. Plant them deep in our hearts, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. Daily Audio Bible app is home base. And that's where you find out what's going on around here right now. We are celebrating 20 years, obviously, saying that most every day, because every day is a 20th. And so we only get to do this once. Right now, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary with a brand new coffee. Wind Farm, our Wind Farm Coffee, and I've shared kind of where that name came from and how that came about, how coffee came to be part of the DNA of the Daily Audio Bible. And so our Wind Farm Coffee is something that's been around for most of the 20 years. And we love it. And we love how it connects us, you know, a hot cup of something, coffee or tea, slowing down, listening to the scriptures, letting that be a part of the rhythm. It's been a part of our rhythm for so long now. And we wanted to do a 20th anniversary coffee that we had never done before. And so it took some time to get the recipe right, to get it all settled and situated and thought through. And right now there is Wind Farm Southern Pecan, a 20th anniversary special reserve of coffee that we have, and that is available. We've been surprised at the reception to it. I'm glad you are loving it the same way we are loving it. And we kind of got bowled over there initially. Everything that we had sold out, but we bought enough for it to be a special 20th anniversary reserve. So we are shipping more and more and more. Grab it while you can. Enjoy it while you can, especially here in this 20th year. That is available in the Daily Audio Bible shop on the web or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being here around the Global Campfire is a meaningful place to be, a space in your life that feels safe and helpful and meaningful, then thank you humbly, deeply, profoundly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, we are a community that has really prayed for each other and largely been a non-judgmental community where, you know, we're all over the world, and so we're not in each other's back door and kind of getting in each other's business. And so we can kind of accept each other, understanding that we're all struggling. And when there's a certain level of transparency, we identify with it deeply in ways that maybe we couldn't be quite as vulnerable in our local communities. And so this has been one of the most beautiful depictions of the body of Christ I have ever seen, and the way that we hear each other. And it's not that we just accept everything, like it's not that we won't challenge each other, it's just that we acknowledge every single one of us is struggling, every single one of us. You know, it's not the easiest thing to walk a path of faith. So we acknowledge that and we hold each other up. And so if that's you, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is T calling in from PA. Three women called in on August the 1st podcast, and they broke my heart, and I have to say prayers for them. Heavenly Father, I call upon you through the name of your son Jesus and ask you to please keep Karen from Florida, who called in for her son who was battling addiction. I pray that God is with you when you arrive at your son's house, and that when he lays his eyes upon you, he will see Jesus with you, and he will know that you and God is in this battle with him. I pray to you, Lord, that you will take these chains of addiction off of him and give him new life. I pray to you, Lord, for Angie, who is battling cancer, that you will lay your healing hands upon her and give her strength, peace, comfort, and rest like only you can. Lord, I also would like to pray for Linda, her sister Carol, Caitlin, and the precious soul of Marion, who drowned in a pool. Please, my Lord, this has devastated this family. And God, I know you know they need you more than ever right now. So, Lord, I'm asking you, please, give them comfort, give them grace, give them mercy, deliverance, and that you will please give them all a spirit of forgiveness for each other. I am also asking for prayers for my daughters, Tiana and Tamia, that God will be with them during these health crises that they are battling. May the Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good and God is great. Thank you, family. Bye.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon. And Eyes of a Dove, I just heard you. I'm a little behind and just heard you. I think I'm listening to the August 3rd daily podcast. And just heard you at the end talking about the situation with your son, Rylan. And sister, my heart just goes out to you. So let's get on our knees before the Lord on behalf of you and your relationship with your son. Dear Heavenly Father, Papa God, you are perfect in all your ways, and you are the great healer. God, we come before you today and bring before you Eyes of a Dove, her husband, and Rylan. God, would you bring healing? Would you bring healing to these relationships? Would you heal the wounds that Rylan is still struggling with, God, that haven't been processed and worked through? Would you give them all just a discernment that goes beyond themselves and comes directly from you to know what to say, when to say it? May their approach be gentle, God. These wounds clearly run deep in this young man, and I just pray for a gentleness all around, God, softened spirits, softened words, God, understanding on both sides. And most of all, God, that your name would be praised in this time as the healing does come in your perfect time. We thank you in advance for all of this, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, family, beloved in Bakersfield. I just want to call in for Layla. She is a 7-year-old little girl who will be having abdominal surgery tomorrow, which will be Thursday, August 7th. I don't know a whole lot of details, but it is a pretty serious diagnosis, and it's going to be a pretty serious surgery. So, God, we are not fearful. We are trusting your hand in all of this. We pray that you would give wisdom and expertise to the doctors as they are operating in Layla's body. God, we pray that you would give Layla just so much encouragement and joy and peace. And while she is being operated on, Lord, would you just reveal yourself to her? May you be more real than ever and just encourage her little heart, Lord. May your spirit be moving in her life, and may this just be an opportunity that she can just praise your name and glorify you through all that you're going to do in her life. God, would you just allow this little girl to rise up and be healed? And may there be no further complications. And God, would you just provide a miracle for this family? Lord, we pray for her mom, Liz, that she would just also to just experience you and truly meet you as her, the living and active God, and would you be Lord of her life, Lord? God, we're just praying for healing over this family and peace and safety. And
good morning. I just want to lift up Meg in Florida, who called in for prayers for anxiety and all the knock-on effects that she's experiencing because of that. And anxiety, unfortunately, is obviously becoming more common, but then it also is just being used more loosely. And so a lot of people will write off someone who says, oh, I have anxiety, that's not a real problem. But I've experienced the bad effects of it. Learning how to manage it was tough. And so, Lord, I just lift up Meg. Let her know that her issue is one that you care about and know about and want to heal. And let her not be afraid to communicate that she needs prayer or that she needs help or that she's going through hard times. Let her have no shame that she's suffering through this. And Lord, we just ultimately lift her up that you, and ask for healing, that you would touch her from her head to her toes, rid the anxiety from her body, cast out the spirit of anxiety and fear and sickness, and heal her physical body, Lord. Allow her to desire and be able to hold down food, and that she wouldn't be heading toward malnourishment because she's not eating and she's vomiting what she's eating. Again, just lift her up and heal her, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
There was a sister from North Carolina that called in to tell Jill and Brian how much she appreciated their opening up and sharing their life. Sister, that was beautiful. I think you spoke so eloquently for the rest of us people that are on this platform, drawing strength from the Word of God first, and then from one another as we sharpen one another. Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful testimony, so to speak, that you shared. I wanted to tell you that right after I listened to that, I had been watching an apple on my counter that had a bad spot on it, and I knew I needed to do something with it, but day by day, that spot got bigger and bigger. And I said, okay, Lord, I need to cut this spot off and try to salvage the rest of it. So I made one slice, and it was deeper. I sliced it again, and it was even still deeper. And I sliced it again, almost to nothing. And the Lord immediately showed me that that's how hurt is inside of people. We think we can just fix their hurts with, oh, just get Jesus. I mean, he's the answer to everything. Just, hey, just let it go away. It's okay. Just, you know, just get over it. But people's hurts are truly deep. And I pray this morning that we will be compassionate and kind and loving like Christ is to us. In Jesus's name, I pray that we would just be his hands and his feet. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Sheena from Saskatchewan. This is God's Life Speaker. I heard you about 42 minutes into the August 2nd community prayers and encouragement. And I forget who you were praying for, but you said something. And it dawned on me we should be praying the same thing that you just prayed for them, for you and Mike. And you had said, Lord, give them the strength to have, how did you word that? Lord, give them the strength as they love someone on the inside. And yeah, I think you said a while back that Mike had 10 years, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but your faithfulness just to praying for legal situations and while you're carrying on with your own personal involvement in that. Plus, you were doing some ministry in the prison yourself. So your heart for that is so beautiful. And I thank you for that. And I'm sure all those in the prisons listening are so grateful that there is someone that really does care and is praying. We all care, obviously, but you are specifically praying over legal situations. So, Heavenly Father, we love Sheena, and she doesn't often come on here and give, you know, personal accounts, but she is so faithful in praying for others on the inside or the outside of prison, just over legal situations. But Lord, give her the strength to love somebody on the inside where days must get lonely and hearts must just really ache. Would you just wrap her in your love, Lord? We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.